Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Giving is living. I read this book this past summer by a gentleman named Robert Morris. And this book is called The Blessed Life. And I'll tell you what, it is biblically solid. It's one of the best books I've ever read in this area of giving. It's solid. He wrote it in less than a week, and it became the number one best-selling book in New York Times. And he pastors a church in Texas of over 20,000 people that he started 10 years ago. He is a man of God, and the Word, he breaks it down. You understand what I'm saying? In this book, he really helps you to understand some things. Because, you know, folks, we need to read, right? We need to read. You can be a good reader and not be a good leader. But you can't be a good leader and not be a good reader. Roosevelt said that, and I agree with him 100%. You got to read, right? And I would not read anything if it wasn't biblically sound. The church is weak in this area. This is something where we got to grow and we got to understand more in this area of giving. Because, folks, this is where too many people go into church worrying about the economic system and worrying about the economy and the crisis in this economy. Folks, there is no crisis in the kingdom of God. There is no, you know what? And if you are in the kingdom, you're not going to have to worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Folks, if you're in the kingdom, you're going to be taken care of, and you're going to be provided for, regardless of what's going on out there. See, the kingdom of God is a whole nother economy, and we got to understand on how to get this thing working, and we can. And we will, and we are, and we're going to. Am I making sense? And so the idea is, when we understand it, it removes all those obstacles. See, he says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. That's what God is saying. My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. See, folks, when we grow in our knowledge, it helps us to understand things. It's going to help us to not be destroyed. God is a giving God. And if we're going to be like God, we're going to have to learn to give. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, folks, we're going to be saved through giving. When we understand giving, folks, now that's part of our salvation. That's God's nature, is to give. And so when our nature, we take on His nature and we give, it helps us to walk in the kingdom. It talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that His grace and His peace has been multiplied to us through what? Through the knowledge of Him. And it says His divine power has given us all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who calls us by glory and virtue, by which we have exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises we take on His nature and escape the corruption that's in this world through lust and deceitful desires. You see, when you take on His nature, now you are going to escape the deterioration, the corruption, the decaying. And that's what the world system is doing. It's falling down. It's breaking. It's not working. But the kingdom of God is working. And you can escape it when you take on His nature through the knowledge of Him. Why aren't so many people experiencing the full life? Listen, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gives us all things, right? Folks, you know what? We limit him. We stop it because of our ignorance. When we're ignorant or something, that affects us. That affects that giving, that free, that flow coming into our life. But we got to understand this. So we're going to look at this today. Go with me to Luke chapter 6, 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. He says here, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Then he says, give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many times have I heard ministers, pastors, preachers preach that word, give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, right before the offering? And they're trying to stir you up to get you to give money. That's not what he's talking about there. And see, what? So in that, what would that be? That would be, if I give, I'm going to get. That would be the implied revelation there. That's not the revelation he's trying to teach us. It's not getting. The revelation he's trying to teach us is that we give. And I'm here to tell you, God doesn't need anything. We have a God who has everything, so he's not trying to get us to give to him because he's got everything. He's trying to get us to give for who? For us, so that we understand, so that we can live, so that we can live the life that he's called and created us for. And it's not so we get. When we give out of a pure heart and a pure motive, it's going to advance God's kingdom. That's why we need to learn to grow and understand that we don't give to get, we give to advance God's kingdom. That's the idea behind it. You see, has anybody ever taken a key and had gone and had a key made? And then you got back and you went to the door or the car or whatever you had the key made for, and it wouldn't open the door. Well, you see, the reason it wouldn't open the door is because one of the teeth on that key wasn't properly ground down. Well, you see, that's what he's saying in this scripture here. One of these areas, judging, condemning, forgiving, and giving. One of these areas, if it's not been ground down by the Holy Spirit, it's going to affect your giving. It's going to affect the effectiveness of your giving. It's not going to open the key, what God is trying to open to you. So we have to understand that these areas, judging, condemning, forgiving, and giving, all are about how you live and how you give. You see that? He says, judge not. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. What's he saying here? Go with me to Matthew 23, real quick, and look at verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you who pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So, you know, I've had people say, well, tithing's not in the New Testament. Right there it is. He says, these you ought to have done. Who said this? Jesus. Jesus said, these you've ought to have done. Tithing. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing it. But it was affecting the way they live. It was affecting them giving justice, giving mercy, and having faith. Because they hadn't allowed this to work in their life. Listen, now stay with me. So tithing is just the foundation. He doesn't say, he says in Malachi, bring the tithe. You don't give a tithe. You just bring it to the storehouse where you're being fed. You bring it. That's a given. That's just done and over with. If you don't do that, you're already starting off on the wrong foot, because God can't bless that. You see that? He says that you're under a curse if you don't tithe. So tithing is a given. It's just it. That's just the beginning. Folks, we've got to understand this. Too many people in church are missing out on so much, but it's because we don't understand. I have got to understand. You know I am a word nerd. I'm going to tear this thing up. I've got to understand it. And that's what I'm here to do, is help bring understanding. Now look at this. He says, you've neglected the weightier matters. Justice. Justice would be judging. Not giving justice. It's not up to you. Mercy. Not giving mercy, you're condemning people. Faith. It takes faith to forgive someone. So let's go back to Luke 6, 38. 37, 38. Judge not. That's the topic here, right? So he says, judge not and you shall not be judged. When somebody says, and they just teach, give and it shall be given and pressed down, and they're trying to get you to give money, you see, grammatically, that's not even true. Grammatically, that's wrong. I used to be terrible at English, but I've kind of stepped it up in that area, because the better I understand English, the better I understand who's trying to teach me and bring it to me. Because the word give is the verb, and the word and you are the subject, and it depends on what you give. And it is the supply, is the objective pronoun. It, whatever it is what's going to come back to you, pressed down, shaken up. In other words, if I judge somebody, it's going to come back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If I condemn somebody, it's going to come back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If I don't forgive, it's going to keep coming back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Unforgiveness. That's what that's saying. Now, the word judge literally means to criticize. We live in a judgmental society. We live in a society where everyday conversation, we're judging somebody. I'm going to tell you what, that is affecting your life. We should never judge. I've done it. I was at my family, and you know how you get? In my mind, I start judging them. And it's like, get off of that, you know? I had to keep shaking it off. It's natural to start judging somebody. We got to get in the supernatural and stop it. Because it frees you up so you can give, and your giving will be effective. I've done this. You know, you bless your enemies, give to those who persecute you and despitefully you. I've done that. And then I think, I just hope they feel good about what they did to me now. I've done that. I know none of you all have done that. But I've done that. And so, but you see what? That just blows it out. It has no effect. But if you give and there's no judging, now it's getting in there. It's going to affect them for the kingdom. And that's what we want. We want to be effective. We don't want to be enervated. E-N-E-R-V-A-T-E-D. Enervated. The word enervated means a lack of vitality. It means to lessen or weaken. It means no strength. You see that? We want our giving to be effective. We want it to have vitality. We want it to have strength. We want it to have power when we give. And when we do that, when we do it His way, we're going to have that effect. You know what, folks? It's something. I was at CrossFit this week, Wednesday, and they had us line up. They had us all, we all warmed up, and he said, all right, I want you all to line up. And some of them said, oh, we feel like we're in first grade at the school, at the lunch line. And you know, and they all start complaining and murmuring. He goes, now I want you to do crab crawls across the floor, and then I want you to do bear crawls back, and then I want you to run around this pole over here, then you got to hop this 24-inch thing, jump over it, and then I want you to run back. I want you to do that 5 times in single file. Everybody, rah, 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 just complaining, rah, rah, rah. You know what? I didn't complain once. Now, I'm not trying to be big deal. I'm just trying to tell you. I didn't complain once. And so when they got done, they all said, well, I hope we don't do that again. That's ridiculous after we already warmed up. And he says, well, what'd you think about that, Fred? I said, I liked it. And they all, oh, you. I said, I liked it. I said, you know why? I said, that teaches me to submit. That teaches me submission. I said, if I listen to you, that's going to improve my health. You see that? If I enlisted in this, I want the most optimum results I can get. Am I making sense? In what I'm investing in. And if I'll come under your authority and I listen to you, then I'm going to get the results I'm looking for. But you see, people in general don't want to do somebody else's will. And it's always, God's will is always, we don't want to do it. But when we'll do it, we are going to get optimum results. Am I making sense? And that's the way it is. That's just how it is. But if we don't, then we're not going to experience and we're not going to have. And it's going to be an effect on our lives. Now, look at this. Judge not. Go with me to Romans chapter 2 real quick. Verse 1. Therefore, you who are inexcusable, O man, that's talking about women too, O man, O woman, because there's no gender in heaven. Watch this. Whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. You condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Did you catch that? You condemn yourself when you judge, when we judge. Folks, this is something we have to work and be purposeful to not do, because it affects our giving, which affects our living, how we live. All right, now, Romans 14:14, real quick. Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Now watch this, verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now what's he saying there? You know, has any of you ever that have kids, you go in and you're one of your kids is trying to correct the other one and trying to tell them how to do this and how to do that. And you walk in, you say, wait a minute, I'm the parent here. You see, that's what God is doing. When we're judging people and we're doing that, God is up there saying, you know, I'm the parent here. I'll take care of it, right? And that's really how it is. That's how it is. We got to stop our judging and trying to correct everybody. Come on. And you know what? Even it's in your thinking. You don't have to say a word. It's when you judge in your mind, then it's affecting you. You think, well, nobody hears or sees or knows. Uh-huh. It's affecting everything. This is huge. This is affecting the way you live, because you're not giving mercy. You're not giving grace that has been given to you. See, God has given you mercy and given you grace. Why don't you say, next time you do that, say, Lord, give them what you've given me, grace. Give them what you've given me, mercy. Not criticize them and judge them. And as we practice that, that frees us up to give and live the life God created us for. Folks, I heard people criticizing their own kids. You should never sit there and criticize and talk negative to your kids about what they do and they don't do all the time. Build them up. Am I making sense? Don't sit there and beat your kid down about what they haven't done or what they do. That right there, that critical, condemn all the time, that is tearing your kid down. Build that kid up. Speak the good things about him all the time, especially when you're home by yourself, not just in front of everybody. Come on now. Well, you look excited. I am, because, folks, that affects the way you live. It affects how you live because you're not giving. James 5:9, go there with me real quick. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You know, as I was around in relative, I felt like Jesus was looking over my shoulders. It's because I'm practicing this. I felt like he's always watching. And you know, I like that. Because I'm not going to criticize people. Or any of you all either. You see, we should give him.
Well, I hope he gets what he deserves. Well, I just hope they get what they deserve.
You know what? Why don't we say, well, you know what? If we got what we deserve, we all deserve hell. Huh? So, you see that? So when you're saying that, do you want what you deserve? Press down, shaking together. That's what's happening. That's why our lives are where they are. We got to understand this. Condemn not. You remember how kids used to say, you want some cookies? Not. You remember that? You want some of this I have to drink here? Not. Well, that didn't come from kids and teenagers, and that came from Jesus. Judge, not. Condemn, not. Are you with me? Now look at this. Back to Luke. Condemn not. What's condemn mean? Condemn means to sentence somebody and hope they get what they deserve. I remember I was watching TV one time in the news, and this guy had a cast on his hand, and he hit this kid that wasn't even his kid. It was his stepdaughter, and he ended up killing her. Her name was Samantha. It was in Dayton. Well, I was watching the news when that first came on, and inside me, I said, they ought to just hang him by his toes and strap him up and beat him. And I thought, and then the Holy Spirit whispered to me. I caught what he said. He says, but I love him. Do you? Who are you to condemn somebody? That's what the Holy Spirit was showing me. And then you know what the Holy Spirit said? I'll bet you his life started out much like what he's doing to that child. It wasn't even a week later I heard that when he would be taking a bath, his dad would come in and burn him with cigarettes and put burns all over him. It's not agreeing with what he did. But you know, I'm not the one to do the condemning. But if I take that on, then that affects me and the way I live. And then this affects the way you give everything. Now, forgive. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. What's forgive mean? Let's just give it one word, release. You see, we need to release people who have done us wrong. But that's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them their trespasses, their sins, for those who have sinned against us, right? So here's the idea. Father, release them as those who have released against us. You see that? That's what that's saying. Release them. If we don't release people who have done us wrong, then he says in Matthew 18, he says the Father will turn you over to the tormentors, demons, demon spirits. If you don't forgive, the Father, in Matthew 18, will turn you over to demonic forces, tortures. You'll be tormented if you don't forgive. In John chapter 20, verse 23, let's go there real quick. I want you to see this. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, what's that saying? That's saying the people who have done you wrong, sinned against you, if you retain that, you're going to repeat the same thing to somebody else. That's what that's saying. If you retain that, I've had people come in my office and tell me what my father did or what, and they're doing the same thing that was done to them because they have not got this revelation that they need to release that and they need to forgive. Because if you keep retaining it, you're going to do the same thing. The very thing you hated somebody doing, what they did to you, you're going to do it to somebody else. And see, what happens is, you just keep repeating that. Now, you can't separate giving from living. In Matthew 10, 8, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know what? We'll be able to do that when we understand the next part. Freely you have received, freely give. You see, if you don't understand what we're talking about and somebody does you wrong, you will always try to make them pay you back. You will always say it's going to cost you. in your mind. They're always going to owe you something because you don't understand what we're talking about. But if you understand that you release that and you freely give as you have freely received, that makes you a vessel to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Are you with me? That makes you a person. When you give, it has power. You know, I was at Hair Arena with Zeta here several weeks ago, and we went to see Elmo and Bert and Ernie and all them, you know, Big Bird. And we were there, and so they had a break. And they had all these, you know, they have all that stuff for sale out there, you know, in the lobby. So we walked out, and I had Zeta with me, and Zeta reminded me, "Papa, you said you were going to buy me something." You know, I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "We will." And so we go up, and right standing off to the right of us was this couple, just fire raging mad. We don't have any money. I don't know why you think we can do this. We can't. And it's just going on, and they were hurting. And this man was just, I could tell he was just struggling. And this woman was just raking him over the coals because he couldn't. His little boy wanted the Elmo. And his little boy was crying, you know. And I said, "Zeta, tell him you want an Elmo." She said, "Papa, I don't want an Elmo." I said, "Tell him you want an Elmo." And so we got an Elmo. I said, "Now let's, I said, I want you to give it to that boy." She went over there. And she said, "Why, Papa?" I said, "Go over there and give it to him." Went over there and gave it to him. And they looked at us like, why'd you do that? I just said, "Well, you know, I just said, God loves you." I didn't preach at them, and you know. I just said, you know, and they kept looking. I said, "Just be blessed." They were looking at us like, we were from another planet. And then they start to walk away. Am I going to be able to walk away with this? And they're looking back like, you know, they're like, they didn't, it's like they didn't understand. But I'm going to tell you what, it had something on it. Not only in their life, but in my daughter, granddaughter's life, and even the lady saw it that served us. You see what I mean? It had something on that. Here's what I'm trying to show you. We got it. When we learn this, it starts to work in our life. And now we're advancing the kingdom. You see that? And you know what? God's going to take care of you. I'm just here to tell you. He will. I went to the hospital the other day. Somebody was operated in our church. And after the operation, I thought, well, I'm going to go get me a cup of coffee and a bran muffin. You know, bran muffin. And so I got me a bran muffin and a cup of coffee. And I was in line to pay for it. And this guy looks at me and he goes, "Hey, you're that preacher." I thought, "Oh, no." And he says, "I want to buy that for you." I said, "You know, that's all right." And so I left and I just thought, I didn't even know this guy. No, I don't even remember seeing him ever. And he's blessing me. That's how it works, folks. You see this? That's simple and that seems insane. Well, that guy just wanted to buy you a cup. No, we got to be aware of that. And when you're in touch with that, that's the kingdom working. If we understand this, get rid of this judging and condemning. And I'm not just saying you guys, I'm talking about me too. And when we understand this, it frees us up to really begin to experience the blessed life, the kingdom of God.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. We extend to you a warm Christmas greeting and invite you to our Christmas Eve candlelight celebration, Friday, December 24th, 5:30 p.m. at Christian Academy School. Currently, our worship times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. Beginning Sunday, December 26th, our Sunday morning service will relocate to Christian Academy School and combine into one 10:30 a.m. service. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul: "Be complete, Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.